Blog Talk Radio.
Get up again and smile. Get up again and smile.
And welcome to Our Black News. My name is Don Allen. I'm joined by Jonathan Mason down below here. And to the right of me or left of me, wherever which way you're looking, is Mr. Anthony Scott. And welcome to the first show of 2021. Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Yeah, we had a hell of a week, and we're going to discuss some of that coming up, just making sure we're live in different places. But, you know, going into 2021, There's some things that are happening that we want you guys to know about, and not changing our direction, but changing our mission a little bit to make sure that you are informed about everything that's going on, from the mall in South Minneapolis that's getting ready to be put up to the recent shootings and the economic development of Black Minnesotans here in the state of Minnesota. So with that said, we'd just like to jump right into this. Anthony, did you have a good New Year's Eve? Did you go out on the town? What did you do?
No, I did not go out on the town. I stayed home, had several very light libations, talked to a lot of relatives, my kids, told them in this new year, we've got to get moving. We got a lot of good things to do. And, I'm just anxious to get started in the new year. 2021.
Yes, exactly. So we're here today, and we're going to be talking about a lot of things that are happening in town. And these things happen because I think that the Black community in the state of Minnesota has not stepped up and did what they need to do as far as legislative policies, city policies, and county policies. And so you have, we're in for Jonathan Mason to log back on, but you have some issues going on where it's getting pretty serious. And now last week we have a situation, or this week, I shouldn't say last week, but we have a situation now where we have a 23-year-old Somali boy. And the reason why I say boy is not out of disrespect. It is because he's a kid and compared with how old I am. And he's dead. And I know Mr. Mason sent me a few videos that I was looking through, and there's a lot more to this puzzle that needs to be put together in order to figure out what really happened. I am not a law enforcement person. I do not hold a law enforcement degree at all whatsoever, but I'm a little troubled by this recent shooting of this Somali youth. And I say youth, even though he's 23 years old. Go ahead.
What are your thoughts about the video being released so quickly? And I watched the video many times, several times. It's not as clear as I would like to see, and I would think that there should be some other video from maybe the establishment, maybe from the holiday station. I would think that they have that.
Yeah.
A different
camera.
And so, I think there should be, there's more to come.
And what they did was, I think, is they had they picked the least explanatory video to put out there. That video is not the best video to watch. Like the store video, the dash cam videos, and the other videos, I'm sure already tell a different story. A while back, Mr. Edwards and I, we kind of interrogated a video that was put out that showed a young man coming out of his house, and within 6 seconds, he was shot dead by the Minneapolis police a couple years back. There was no, hey, what are you doing? Put that knife down. No one got a billy club. They just point blank, boom, 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 sitter man. Jonathan, what are your thoughts? Bring us up to speed, because I've seen you at ground zero quite a bit here lately. Can't hear you. Got a little audio thing going on. Can't hear you. So just a second. Let me try something. Try now. Yeah, you're barely can't even – no audio, zero audio right now. Sorry about that. I will try something else. I'll see if other people can hear you. But what had happened is, you know, this young man, the video looked like he was driving into a gas station or in a gas station, and all of a sudden, boom, you know, these shots go off. But that's not the subject that we want to, you know, we want to harp on for 8 years. But Jonathan, are you there?
Yep, can you hear me?
We can hear you loud and clear. And we're also joined by a couple other people here. I think Mr. Tucker's back there and Lenny Chisholm's coming in, because we got to have this big conversation about these things that are going on. And we'd like to also welcome Mr. Tucker, and hopefully Mr. Chisholm can join us here shortly. Hint, 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 hint. But Jonathan, bring us up to speed.
Real quick, yeah. So I, sorry about the technical difficulties, but we had, I got the call about.
I'm not hearing it.
I hear. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, when I heard about the Somali kid getting killed, you know, obviously we heard multiple different stories on what happened, different reports of different witnesses, and what happened. When I got down there, I was heading there, I knew, I realized that they said that he possibly could have shot at police and, you know, was killed on the scene, shot 8 times in the head. So I was on my way down there. Obviously, I seen a strong police presence. But the reaction by the police didn't seem like it was what we've seen downtown this year with the suicide. And when I noticed that the camera, the video that they released, when obviously it could have been way clearer video, way more clear, obviously the Holiday Glass Station, we have other dash cams. Why was that the only body camera video you shot and shown? The reason being is, they had the CRT, that's the community response team, on this one, right? And it concerns me that the community response team is riding around the community looking for people of color, doing operations on people of color, but they're missing all of the white domestic terrorism attacks like Nashville and all these other shootings that happened. But they're riding around similar to what they did during mass incarceration, when they were criminalizing black folks with drugs, the war on drugs and stuff like that. So now they're patrolling within these communities, and I'm going to tell you like this, and I'm sure you heard about it. The Somali community is not happy at all. They're extremely highly upset, and they're going to show a different response. And we were talking about this off the air real quick, but we already know that they're going to have a different response in the black community. They're going to go after them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, with this coinciding with the George Floyd case coming up, we just heard yesterday, or this morning, actually, this morning, well, they did it at midnight last night, but the prosecution now has asked for the trial. This is breaking news. The trial to be moved 3 months out from March 8th. If you heard me correct, that is March 8th. They want it 3 months from March 8th. That's going to bring us to about June 8th. So this is the prosecution asking it. So more than likely, the judge is going to grant this. So we're going to have all of these things ramping up. It's going to actually be in the prime of summer as the George Floyd case goes on. You can't make this up. And it's going to be and it's going to be a spectacle. But with the shooting right now, the Somali community is highly upset.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, this is very interesting, the dynamics in all this and what happens, because you're going to get two completely different responses between the black community response, the white liberal response, and the Somali community response. There's three different tiers, separate and unequal. But we know already that people in the Somali community are behind closed doors discussing this, discussing what actions to take. And believe me, they're not shuttered with the surreptitious exposure to slavery, which meaning that they don't have that much slave dust on them. So they will go after this head and tooth like a you know, it's going to be ugly.
Right.
Hey,
absolutely.
Mr. Tucker, welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
Great. I have some living history.
Okay.
I seen the policeman shoot a guy that I knew so many times that his body stayed in the air, did not fall, and they just lifted him off the ground. When he finally did fall to the ground, they kept shooting him and riddling with bullets. I picked up 70 shells when they shot at my brother. Some of this stuff you guys are talking about that I seen firsthand and was there on the scene when a lot of this stuff took place in the 60s. And the only thing that is like Adam Smith said in The Wealth of a Nation, you have to have an economic base. They're fighting to maintain their economic base.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know that there's a disparate treatment that exists in our community. And greater the disparate treatment, the greater the crime. And in our own community, we have people who think that they're more consequential than other blacks. I tell the story when I lived in San Francisco, when Willie and I go see Willie Mays at Candlestick Park. And when Willie Mays left Candlestick Park and went down Market Street, he was no longer the Say Hey Kid. They used the N-word to describe him. I found through my many years, and I've been out here since the early 50s, starting as a street kid in 1952. And I've seen a whole bunch of this stuff, and it's just a repeat every year. I don't want to be a gossip columnist and talk about the disparate treatment and the whole Oscar Gore. If we're not talking about economics, and racism is about economics, if you're not talking about economics, most of that stuff I've experienced, seen with my own eyes, and it, you know, I'm jaded. I tell the truth, I'm jaded. Very well, Jaden. And if we're not doing anything to change the economics, you have in the city of Minneapolis and lowered the taxes on all the apartment buildings, which were owned by folks from other parts of the country, and they increased the taxes on all single-family houses. Okay? You got to understand it's about economics. And we're not talking about how to increase the economics in our community. The city of Minneapolis let it be known that they do not do business with black people.
So for dealing with Minneapolis, so if I was to go in to challenge to go get some property or get some commercial real estate, who would I have to, or where's the red tape at that you've experienced?
Just straight up. We don't do business with you, Tucker. We don't do business with black people.
Right.
What do you do at that point in time?
Right. And then what do we do about the Upper Harbor Terminal? They got Bill English involved in that, and I think he's the forefront person for the black community. How do you feel about that one?
I know Bill, and he's been on it for a number of years. And there's a prerequisite to be a leader in our community. Number one, you can't live in the community.
Oops.
In order to be a leader. That's a criteria one. Criteria two, you must not under any of the economics of the community or how our system works.
Right.
You know,
when you say the system, do you mean the person has to be basically not cognizant of the economic doings of the money?
The person who pulls the string. You know, I did the appraisal of the Twin Stadiums.
Okay.
And suffered from my inability to go along with the status quo. I'm just not that kind of person.
Oh, so you and what was the status quo with that?
The status quo was to come in at a certain number. The other status quo is to call in a whole group of people to
would testify that that number was not correct, and all of them would make money.
Wow.
That's the status quo. All of them would make money.
Right. And wait, you didn't want everybody to make money, or what was the case?
The case was that I know that sometimes they use you until they use you up.
Right.
And then they kick you to the curb.
Right.
You can't play the same game that they play.
Agreed.
And so, therefore, if you try to play the same game they're playing, they would woo you. And then at some point in time, you'd be kicked to the curb. You know, I just have too much information, and that's what they told people about me. Tucker has too much information, period. I know how the game is played. I spent 20 years in the courtroom, okay, doing condemnation cases. I was on the Board of Equalization for the city of Minneapolis, equalizing property. Started the Minority Contractors in 1975, okay. I started the Women and Minority Business Enterprise in the 80s. I know how the game is played. You know, they don't want me in the room. Gil English, just like that young fellow who is our alder person, and they try to do this to another project I was involved in, told us that we'll give you this project in this suburban city, but don't hire Mr. Tucker. But my good friend had a cafe on Fremont and Broadway. Some of the spokespersons told her, whatever you do, don't bring Tucker in the room.
What?
They went in and ripped that lady off. These black people did. Ripped her off. They didn't want me in the room because they knew I knew what was going on. They charged that lady supposedly to rehab her building, and they tore her building down and build it up from the ground floor, she would have saved money.
Wow.
Okay? But they didn't want me in the room because they knew as a contractor and I knew the cost and I'd done a lot of building.
Do you think due to the strategic, you know, keeping individuals like yourself out of these dealings has, you know, has contributed to the violence in North Minneapolis?
There's plenty of evidence to show the greater the disparate treatment, the greater the violence. Greater the disparate treatment, the greater the violence. If you don't have an outlet to get money, then you start carrying a bag.
Yeah.
As we say in the streets.
And
you start carrying a bag and doing things that's illegal. Because you can't watch that TV and see all these people with all these pretty items and you don't have them.
Right.
That's
right, and I think right now, being that the pandemic has now taken our society and basically knocked our white counterparts, which they've always been right around the bottom with us anyway, down to the ground, we know historically, you know, I know you're old, but you're not as old as 1918 as the last Spanish flu pandemic, where we seen the racial divide after in 1921, where, you know, Tulsa, Oklahoma and stuff like that was burnt down and stuff like that. Do you believe now coming up in Minneapolis, in St. Paul, that the racial divide is going to grow even further as long as this pandemic continues to keep moving forward?
The racial divide would go and will continue to grow because there's a certain segment of our community who believe other folks in our community drag us down. And when I hear somebody tell me, we as black people need to do A, we need to stop wearing our pants down to our knees, we need to go to church, we need to go to school, we need to do all that BS. Until then, you're telling me what I need to do to be accepted by the other culture. I don't give two nickels or a dime about being accepted by anybody. If you don't like Larry Tucker, get a number like you do in the meat line. Stand in line and with your number card. This idea that we're going to change society by changing us is fallacious. Guess what? Without foundation. There's no merit in that statement.
Right.
A lot of people, and we have a lot of spokespersons, because I've stopped using the
some years, I spokesperson to get there. We had a project in the city called Brooklyn Center. Somebody asked me, did you talk to Mr. English? Told us, have you talked to Mr. English? So the response to that wasn't, I don't want to use the kind of response to that was, because I've been known to use a lot of four-letter words. So, you know, the project never went anyplace. Number two, they played the game like they did that Fifth Ward Alder person. They wanted to give us X number of dollars. I don't want to mention the number. And then they told us, we want to hire our own consultants. And we're going to give you 20% of that money so you can hire your own consultant, but no, as long as you don't use Larry Tucker.
Mm.
They did the same thing to this Thor kid. You're
talking about Thor. Copeland. Yeah.
Who Richard?
Yeah. Richard Copeland.
They brought a lot of money under his aegis. He didn't get any of it. They did the same thing to the Ellis, Fifth Ward Alder person.
Jeremiah Ellison.
They gave him supposedly X number of dollars. They took 80% of that money and hired their own consultants. And the consultants didn't do anything. They gave him 20% of the money to have a party with. If you don't understand how the system is played, you don't get played.
Hard. Every time. So, Mr. Tucker, it's like, I mean, you're talking about a history here of Minneapolis, and we got to add St. Paul in there, of economic obstruction when it comes to contract compliance that trickles into, like, the state, MnDOT, Department of Administration, and the Minnesota Department of Health, and all these other agencies that are complicit for putting the chokehold or putting their knee on our necks, on Black Minnesotans' necks, for a long time. And I guess my point is, my question would be, what do we do in 2021? Because me personally, I'm not tolerating it no more. And we have like 8 platforms now that if you mess up, we're going to tell on you.
Right.
Period.
Well, you know, I would tell you something off the air what we
can do. Okay. Let me find my Glock. No, go ahead.
Lake Harbor Project.
Yeah.
They gave a certain segment of our community the ability to buy land. They gave other segments of our community the inability to buy land, but to lease land. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a difference there. Then we have these spokespersons in the room that don't understand that difference. So if me and Don went over there and say we want to do a project in this in this harbor district,
mm-hmm. they would say no.
We don't have land. We don't have land ownership,
right?
Okay? And then certain people sitting at the table don't know the damn difference.
I would have to agree with that.
Bill English don't know the difference.
So, for example, say if you wanted to come up with a project right now, us four, right, or whatever the case may be, you came up with a project, do you think they would strategically try to keep you out of it?
Keep you out of it or kill you.
Wow.
Well, what I'd like to ask, you know, why does the name of Bill English continue to come up? I mean, over the years, I've heard him involved in different things. Does he have an actual title? I mean, not that that means anything, but does he have a power base? Does he represent someone?
I think always hearing that name.
Hey, let me explain. From 2008 on, from what my experience, even before that, without even saying his name, the city of Minneapolis and these convoluted highbrows, bougie highbrows that look like us, male and female, we're all males here, of course, but there's females that have our skin tone, have decided that there are safe Negroes in Minneapolis and St. Paul to work with. Safe Negroes who might go to the same church, like Mr. Tucker said, safe Negroes that might be member of the same fraternities or sororities, safe Negroes that that portray this air of leadership that isn't there. I saw Bill English bring kids into UROC for testing when Cicchetti was there. And that was very interesting. They got $25 gift Target gift cards. But you pimped out a bunch of kids in our community in North Minneapolis for this controlled testing piece. And they keep calling these cats that, you know, you can't get mad at a brother's hustle. But then again, you know, why aren't you dabbling in other areas? Do I have to be a member of the Minnesota DFL to get a contract to work with the state or the city? Do I have to go to your church, you know, First Saint or whatever it's called, contract? If you look at these people, and you can go to all these people's Facebook pages and find out at the end of the day. I did that 2 years ago at Mr. Edwards while he was on the phone. We looked at a bunch of people, black people in Minneapolis and St. Paul. And the ongoing theme with all these people is either they went to the same church, they were affiliated with the same group of people, and they were all members of the...
It's a form of black nepotism.
Yeah, exactly. They were all members of the Minnesota DFL. And they had friends in the hierarchy of the DFL. That was the common theme running out through the whole thing. So if you have one set group of people, you have a group, it's called a group think going. And so any one of us getting in there, we're going to disrupt this group thing and maybe try to have them to look another way or look at whatever's going on another way, because selective amnesia is terrible here in the great white north.
Well, listen, if I was in power, I'd do the same damn thing. I'd be what?
Yeah.
If you're in power, you do everything you have to do to maintain power.
Oh, yeah, you do. You do.
Power, you have to do everything you have to do to obtain power. Simple as
45.
That.
45 ain't got nothing to do with none of this. We're talking about Minnesota.
No. Whoever thought that the politicians controlled anything need to reexamine their position. Need to reexamine that. You know, as a street kid in the 50s and 60s, I had free reign.
Mm-hmm.
You know, free reign. You know, I ran my little after-hour joints, and I ran my little crap houses, sold my little whiskey, and did all that shit. Nobody touched me.
Right.
Because I understood how the system works.
Right.
You know, in 1975, I tell this story, I was a contract, formalized Minnesota Minority Contractors. I changed the name from Minority Contractors to Small Emerging Businesses.
Uh-huh.
Petty Plots went into Rome and said, well, we call ourselves minority, we can get something from the government. BS. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
BS. They just didn't know how the system works. And we keep doing the same thing because we have not informed ourselves. We don't know how the system works. Some of these people, Bill Ng's a nice, clean-cut colored guy. Nothing wrong with him. He's just maximizing his utility. You know, same thing with the when they did the Twin Stadium. There's some colored guys that wanted to be on the board. Not knowing that being on the board, you don't have but one vote, and they switch from day one. One person supports you, and the other three won't support you on a day two. They just switch around, so you think you have some power on the board. Being on the board don't mean anything. Okay? I got some significant contracts out of the state of Minnesota, and I tell you what they told me from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
The governor said, all you black guys do is come in the room and rag on each other.
Yeah.
Don't use Tucker. Don't listen to Don. You know, don't listen to Mason. Those guys are troublemakers. Okay?
Yeah.
And then when they get to the head of the line, I tell the story when my mom died, my sisters and brothers got to the head of the line, not knowing that me and my mom had already decided how she wanted to do things. And when it come time for them to produce, they didn't have any of the information. They didn't even know where Mama was born. They didn't have no information.
That's terrible.
Nothing.
Right. And that's why it's imperative that we get knowledge for ourselves and making sure that when we do get these contracts, we expose them to sellouts. And, you know, if you follow me, you know, I'm not taking fine to all those old individuals who sat in these spots for so long and they did jack diddly shit and danced every time the music came on and scratched their head, but it's not opening up no doorways. They're not producing more strong black leaders behind them. They're not making the opportunity and creating the rooms. They ain't helping as far as doing the training, trying to go get the contracts. And like me and Don and us were saying before, you know, within the Somali community, they're having these workshops regularly, teaching their people how to do grant writing, teaching their people how to do all these different various skill sets. And we don't do that because, like you said, Mr. Tucker, we go ranting and raving about and talking about our brother and not knowing that it culturally, if we even read the Bible and look, you don't even supposed to be talking about your brother. That's rule number one. You are never supposed to talk about your brother. That's rule number one. And what we have but that acceptance part has us thinking with the crab in the bucket mentality. And how do we break that? And I think turning on the light like you do to the cockroaches when you hear them coming out is the best way to do it. And that's why I'm trying to get up close and personal. And, you know, like you said, they'll do something to you or try to do something to you. Well, then it'll be a shootout. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It'll be a shootout. It'll have to get to that spot because we're in dire times right now.
Yeah.
And I think that it's time for us to all eat, but we can't have a selected crew just being able to eat and knocking everybody else down because that's not the way it's supposed to go. And I think as far
exactly.
as I'm 33 years old. So
are
you
old? You
know, I'm in an area where I'm pulling up on the scene at the murders, and I'm calling Rondo. What's up, Rondo? Release the tape. Oh no, it's Drew Evans at the BCA. Well, Drew, I need that tape out ASAP. I need y'all to drop the right one. Don't drop no edited version. Drop the right one. And so what happens is, you know, I was telling the guys, anyways, you know, all these, and this is what I'm very discouraged about. I got kids and people my age are 40 years old talking about gang and I'm on the north side doing this and this is my op and this is my enemy, and when all my enemies, I'm getting to say all my enemy names, and they white old men. They, you know, it's Drew Evans and Andrew Bakers and Michael Freeman's and these and you know, African American heritage, Justin Terrell's who slow you down with the Mark Danes and all these individuals who are strategically put in places to slow down not only, I would say, the revolution, but the exit of the burning house, like Martin Luther King was talking about, coming and trying to do what we know we shouldn't probably have done, is trying to implement or get ourselves into a system where you're trying to learn all these different ways of another culture, and you don't even know your own damn culture.
Exactly.
And you're sitting up here looking silly.
And I need to add some pieces real quick to this, because what you said, Jonathan, Mr. Tucker, and Anthony, you can chime in at any moment. What you said about the Somali community in Minnesota having these gatherings and learning to do this stuff, it's very interesting. In 2014 and 2015, then-named Council of Black Minnesotans would have internet marketing courses in the basement of the first floor in that big conference room of the First Bank in downtown St. Paul. They'd have them at UROC in North Minneapolis. There was an opportunity to keep these things going from way back then till today, even technology stuff. Like, we want to teach people how to use this Restream platform so we can have some more community journalism. Now, it's okay for Minnesota Public Radio to get a multi-million dollar grant to do community journalism, and they come into the black community and they ask for stories, but they never bring any money, okay? But when we want to do that, we're somehow, there are people in our community that look like us. I don't have to say any names. Like, I'm not going to talk bad about them because, like what Mr. Tucker says, they're doing the best with what they have to work with to hold on to that hustle. want them to hold on to the hustle, but we want them to take the bad words out of their mouth about other people,
but
because
they're getting fed crumbs. This is the point I don't like.
Yeah.
They're getting fed crumbs, kicking us out, and I can go. I was just in, and I do this all the time. I've done deals, right? Big deals, $15,000-$16,000 deals with individuals, and I split it right down the line.
Mm-hmm.
15, 15, 15. Everybody get that, and we put the rest into that, or do that rest, and figure it out, and get the job done, and finish it out, get it completed. But see, what happens is, you don't have individuals, and I call them sellouts,
mm-hmm.
who want other black folks to be around them, especially heterosexual black men. I'm gonna be honest with you. That's in the Minneapolis public schools. Ed Graff don't like it. I can tell him right to his face he don't like it. I can tell these individuals, and we got to say their names, because what happens is when you go up to the Minneapolis City Council, five out of nine of them got me blocked on their Facebook already. I can't even talk to my council member because they already got me blocked. I ain't never did nothing to them. But see, when your reputation precedes you, and when you're out here looking for those who can put the call the jig up and find out who's selling out of the way. And just like this, for example, Justine DeMond, white woman, okay, she got killed by a Somali cop. I pulled up on the scene just like I would do a black individual, because she deserved justice just like Jamar Clark did. But I told them they're going to lock this Somali man up, because Blue Lives Matter don't like you anyway. They're going to lock you up, okay, and then she going to get a record. She got a record $20 million. Jamar Clark, they've been just dragging Jamar Clark's family along. Why did they settle the same woke individuals and they're beta males, and many of them are beta males and beta females, that are on the Minneapolis City Council, and they claim to be woke or claim to be for the community, gave Justine DeMond $20 million, but 2 months later gave Jamar Clark 1% of that for $200,000. And so when I see them type of disparities, or I see them type of atrocities happening within the black community, whether it's the proficiency rate at the Minneapolis public schools or St. Paul public schools or anywhere else, I pull up and I'm going to tell you about yourself. And when you got a $500 million budget like the Minneapolis public schools, and two out of every five black kids can learn how to know how to adequately read. The other ones can't. They aren't proficient in reading at all. And you just send them straight to Stillwater and St. Cloud.
Yep.
And when I called the jig up, we got these sellouts in these strategical places that are silent. You won't even hear them peep in the kitchen in the middle of the night. You won't even hear them. And they're the same ones, loud as hell, and the white man's ear saying, don't let Jonathan Mason come in here. Oh, my gosh, he's going to tell the truth about the proficiency numbers. He's going to put the highlight on us, and it's going to mess my money up, because I'm supposed to be the diversity, inclusion, and equity man.
Yeah, Jonathan, my mother used to say, and my dad used to say, can't nobody help you make a dollar and they ain't made a dime.
Oh, we.
You got to understand that those people have a life bill that they have to pay. And all they know is a paycheck.
Mm.
I'm 78 years old.
Excuse me.
The last job I had of any consequence has been October 12, 1968. Okay? I've been trying to make like the flays. I've been trying to make brick without straw all my life. And that's all I know, because I come up as a street black. One of the things you know is that you do what you have to do, but don't go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
My brother said there's two kind of people in the world, those that get caught and those that don't. Okay? And I was fortunate one of those that didn't get caught. But the other thing, we want to be accepted versus being respected. That's E. Frederick Fraser, said it in 1940s. So it's not a new thing. You have to understand that we got a lot of skin milk, as my mother used to say, masquerading as cream. Don't know. I don't have any high expectations. I don't. I keep my, I just don't have any high expectations. I expect for them to do exactly what they do. I don't want to go into that Harvard project, because I was in
involved at one point in time in doing a cursory value of that property as an appraiser back in the day.
How much do you think it's worth?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. And I can't say.
Why in the hell are they going to make a music theater type thing in our community as if that's going to benefit our community? Ain't nobody doing ticket sales no more. I don't know what in the world do we have these rabbit ass products.
Jonathan, it ain't about that. It ain't about that. It's about making sure that some of your people make money.
Oh my God.
It's like some of your contractors get a job and build a building. That's all it's about. That's all it's about.
Because, you know, that's not going to be busy at all. That's going to be a waste. That's going to be the most. That's going to be a waste of land and time.
Hey, Jonathan, you're a purist. Nobody gives a damn about wasting land. They talk about making money. This is capitalism. One of the negative aspects of capitalism. As long as my friends are making money, then I'm okay because they're okay, then they can contribute to my campaign.
How long does that continue to be sustainable?
It's been sustainable since the essence of our country. It will continue to be sustainable.
So, in the meantime, if we're looking at the city of Minneapolis, the city of St. Paul, known as the Twin Cities, and we see all this disparaging treatment, and Jonathan was just talking about the education piece where I need to add that 1 in 170, right enough to go get into an Ivy League school. How do we change those dynamics? I have my own answer. The new education chair of the Minnesota Senate is Mr. Roger Chamberlain, Senator Roger Chamberlain. If you don't know Roger Chamberlain, he's been on the program with me, Mr. Edwards and I several times. If you don't know Senator Roger Chamberlain, it's time for you to get to know him. If you don't know Roger Chamberlain is the white man who has a solid Republican district in his district that support him 1,000%. But he's seen a little black boy in North Minneapolis getting harassed by the police in the Minnesota and the city health department for selling hot dogs on the street of North Minneapolis. Senator Roger Chamberlain wrote a bill that says that you can't fuck with this boy because he's out there trying to be an entrepreneur. Excuse my French. He took it in. He got Bobby Joe, Jeff, and all the other so-and-sos to sign on to this bill that he authored. So no longer our kids that sell Kool-Aid, sell hot dogs on the corner.
Oh, get the permit.
Get the permit. Yeah, it ain't even.
What's his name? I know the kid over on the north side.
Yeah,
the
yeah. It wasn't one of us elected officials. It was this guy. Now this guy is Roger Chamberlain, Senator Roger Chamberlain, is the education chair. And you know what? His ears, his mouth, and his pen is wide open. Because he gets it. Okay? Go ahead.
Hey, John, you grew up with this guy named Jack on the corner of Selby and
94 and Dale. Yeah, Tiger Jack.
Tiger Jack.
Yeah.
Tiger Jack made a lot of money.
Yeah, he did.
People would stop by Tiger Jack's place and give him stock certificates.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And they appreciate that he was out there trying to make a living. You got somebody who got caught up in what I call the petty bourgeoisie stuff that don't understand. They just want to be prominent Negroes. Let them be prominent Negroes. Leave them alone. Let them go over there and try to ingratiate yourself to the other cultures. Leave them alone. You know what I told a guy that ran a company called Control Data? When he asked me, did I talk to a certain so-called black spokesperson? I said, I'm glad he's over there doing the bullshit he's doing so he can leave me alone so I can make money.
So why do you, see this, this is what I've personally noticed. Why do I feel like these particular type of Negroes only work within the DFL Liberal Party? We have, I'm sorry about that. They work for the DFL
Party, and we're finding, I have Republican men all the time, senators, and reach out to me and say, hey, I'm willing to work with you, and da 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 da, whatever the case may be. It blows my mind why they're demonized and the sellouts aren't.
That's just a long thing. See, back in again, and I don't want to keep rehashing history because this is 2021, and we're going to go out and get this stuff. We're not just going to say, you know, I need the 10K Foundation. I need Mr. White. I need Jonathan, Anthony, Mr. Tucker, everybody to get behind this because we have to be like MTV right now. MTV right. Back in the day, not right now, but back in the day, MTV used to do one promotion, and they used to push it all the way up to the premiere, and then after the premiere, you used to get hit with reruns so you wouldn't miss anything. But they made sure it was pushed all the way to the front. So what we have to do is that we have to push this stuff to the forefront by just doing what we got to do. There's like several groups out there that want more black teachers in the school, and they're going after the districts. But what they don't understand is the districts are not the problem. If you don't have them in college, then of course you're not going to have them in districts. That's the first problem. If you have one out of five kids that can read proficiently, almost proficiently, that's not a problem with your teacher. That's a problem with the curriculum. And if you look at who is in charge of the curriculum for Minneapolis and St. Paul, there's no one that looks like us, period. Okay? So that becomes a problem. There's no Asian dudes. There's no Native American dudes. There's no Somali. There's nothing. No Hispanic Latino that are doing that. So these groups that want more black teachers are just simply fluff. I was really upset. I read the other day in the Minneapolis St. Paul magazine, there's an organization called Black Men Teach. I know some of the board members personally, and they're good people. They're good black people, but it's led by mostly white people. But they hired this brother, this young brother, he has no salt on him, to be the executive director of Black Men Teach. And the article was just a list, a laundry list of stuff that every state legislator knows, we all know it, community knows it, and there was no new ideas. So if you're going to go in and push that old stuff, we're not going to get anything. And right. It looks like that's where we are. Go ahead.
Now, if I was them, I'd do the same thing. You got to understand, it ain't them. It's these people hungry. They don't have any money.
Yeah.
They keep them politically emasculated. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. And they don't know how to make money. They don't understand the essence of a capitalistic society. And so they will continue to do what they do because we have too many uninformed people.
That's right.
Like, you know, if they're down there selling the land on this project in North Minneapolis to one group and leasing it to another group, you already got a disparity. Then you got these colored people who sit at these colored people, I said it right, colored people who sit on these tables, mm-hmm. and they don't understand the essence of that.
Right.
You know, I grew up with, my grandparents was from Tulsa, Oklahoma, Broken Bow, Oklahoma. My mother was born in Broken Bow, Oklahoma, which is a suburb of a city called Tulsa. They had money. They understood the essence of having money. These brothers just want to be a prominent Negroes. And whenever I see a prominent Negro, the prerequisite for a prominent Negro is to be broke.
Yep.
I
want to be a prominent Negro because I be one of the requisites. I'm broke. Yeah.
I'm on the board.
Yeah.
I'm on the board. You know.
Well, I am a member of the black socialites in North Minneapolis. Ain't got a penny in their pocket, and their gas ain't gone half full. Okay, I'm sorry.
Hey,
I went there.
Hey, so I'm saying that Jose Williams was on the board of a county in a place called Atlanta, Georgia. He discovered that he was the chairman of the board. He discovered there wasn't nothing he could do on the board but vote to, if there was a tie vote, he was a tiebreaker. He had a lot of power, Jose Williams. You heard of him?
Yeah, I have. I have.
Jose Williams ran around with this guy called Dr. Martin Luther King in the Christian Leadership Council.
Okay.
And, you know, they thought that they see these people on these boards, they thought that was important. And come to find out, he did it on the Ford wasn't nothing. He didn't do but to break a tie. He didn't have no power as chairman of the board because he couldn't speak.
Right.
Okay?
And they do that strategically.
If I was them, I'd do the same thing. You think they're bad now? If Tucker was up there, he'd do the same darn thing. Why wouldn't I want to maintain power?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But for me, I'm going to jump in, and I'm not going to do that. And that's why it's imperative that people like myself get to the table, get to the forefront, where I can $1 billion for the North Side and go split it amongst everybody, and everybody ain't got to get it.
Hey, Jonathan, I don't want them nickels and dimes. Okay? You know, I have a project that right now in a couple of places that's worth over $80 million. Okay, so I don't want you to give me $5,000, $50,000. I don't want that kind of money, Jonathan. I'm gonna be honest with you. You know, I'm not trying to pay a light bill. Okay, and I'm not trying to buy a used car. Okay, I mean $50,000, you can't even buy a brand new Ford truck. I don't want that kind of money. I don't want to be in the room with that kind of money. You know,
you want big money.
No. Consequential money.
That's that sidebar stuff.
Big is too subjective.
Mm-hmm.
Consequential money.
Right.
And when you don't ask for consequential. No. Consequential money. You know, I did appraisals for over 40 years. And one of the things that happened, I did appraisals for several major law firms. And I do a single family house and I charge $350. You know, thought I was raised in hell. I turned a $350 bill to a major law firm. They sent it back. And they said to me in no certain terms, with all the expletives involved in it, Tucker, this is too goddamn low. Put your bill in for $750. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to get your mind to think consequentially. You know, those 30, you know. Listen.
Okay, it's 10:18, and we have a few more minutes left. We go until 10:30, and I just want to ask, you know, where do we go from here? What are the next moves? Because we can talk of this game for an hour on this show that we do here on this one once a week on Saturday starting at 9:30, but how do we take it off this platform? Because you see a lot of people on Facebook, including me, posting stuff, but how do we take it to the next level? Because I'm going to tell you, people right now in society today, people say, you know, I got a lot of friends on Facebook, and not understanding that those aren't really your friends. If you never met them in person, number one, if you don't deal with them, if you don't have their phone numbers, they're not really your friends. That's just a social media platform. And I see people so desperately putting stuff on social media, and there's studies coming out of D.C. and all these major Oxford, Harvard, that says no one gives a damn about what you post on social media. Okay? And
Yeah.
People don't really care. But if we take this conversation outside of even Restream here and YouTube and all the other 30 sites it's going to, and we put it in the community dialogue to take action, I think we can get something done. And I'm not really, me personally, I can't wait for nobody. I'm just going to say once, this is what's going on, either you're in or out, because this year, 2021, is critical, especially for us with all our new shows that are coming up this year, and then, but also for education, because we have kids that are going to be a year behind. So what do we do? The Urban League is not stepping up. NAACP is not stepping up. No one else really is stepping up. So how are we going to get these kids? This is an opportunity to put pressure on the Minnesota Department of Education for that commissioner to declare this a crisis, where we do something over the summer months, where we have our kids in the community, not just black kids, all kids, to be learning all summer long, and so we can get them jump-started and ready for the 2021 school year. The problem is a lot of Negroes don't have vision, number one. They can't see that. They don't understand. They're complaining about distance learning, about all this other stuff. But there's money sitting there, and the powers that be, from Governor Walz, his lieutenant governor, all the way down to the elected officials that look like us, are on some kind of celebrity kick. They're not really doing anything. And I'm going to let Anthony chime in because he keeps looking at me sideways. Go ahead, Anthony. Say something.
Well, I'm with you. I'm with you. I mean, we need to get going on this now. We've seen all the history. We've seen all the things we've been through. You know, I wonder if you all read an article. They had a big article in the Star Tribune just recently about George Floyd. They went through Mr. Floyd's life. They went through how he came up here from Houston, and several other people came from Houston coming to the Twin Cities, for a better life. They come up here, they go through the bus station, and they end up around the corner at Harbor Lights. And my point in that is, people, he came up here for a better life. He came up to Minnesota for a better life. But Minnesota has the worst disparities in the country. It's all documented, it's all on paper, educationally, opportunity-wise, we are the worst in the country. So that perception, come here for a better life, and then they come into an area where there's all these disparities. There's no education, there's no opportunity.
And what you touched on is Negroes don't do their research. If you came up here and said, how is the school districts for black kids, you would see real clearly that they don't teach and help the black kids. But what they really, the question that they look on Google is where is the whitest state at? And they go to Minnesota and they say, oh, it's going to be so lovely here, and don't know it's like a movie. It's like the movie Get Out. Mm-hmm. And so the reality is you're absolutely right. This conversation has to take from this Restream platform that is going to various sites and then take it into the city hall or take it into the mayor's office or take it and put it on paper, get it done right, and then go push the envelope. And then when we run into the brick wall that we are expecting to go, then we all take our hammers out strategically and knock it down.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, there's a lot of – right now, I've been seeing all this legislation that's being pushed out there. There's a piece that's out there now for $60 million. I have a copy. I'll email it to you guys. And it's for $60 million, and it's for, like, a think tank. And they want different brothers in charge, and not in charge, but kind of leading this. And it's an opportunity for us, I think, to get in on ground floor. I just think there's an opportunity there. And
stop. Well, there you go.
I'm about to get snapped on. Go ahead. Go get me.
Get that name, Bob. The famous author said, you only going to get the intelligent few of us who can carry the ball across the finish line. There's a lot of those people that I wouldn't want to be in the room with because they don't bring nothing to the table but their black ass or their white ass. You know, like Dr. Gould said, there's more differences among a group of people than there are between a group of people. You got to get the intelligentsia of our community, not some of these people who wake up in the morning and say they want to be leaders. You got to find the intelligentsia, the people who bring something to the table. And most of these people they're not well read, don't have the experience.
You're right.
And they're without vision. I don't want to be at the table with them. Okay? I would rather leave them alone. Let them go in the corner and do their thing and let me go in the corner and do mine. Just don't come over here fooling with me. And one of the things that y'all come to the government.
Larry, you ain't going to no more corner. We pulling you out the corner. I'm not letting you go to no more corners. You come to the forefront. I need a pit bull with me in the front.
Well, you know,
I need a pit bull with me.
If they don't find a way to kill me,
you're 78 years old. They could have been killed you if they wanted to.
Well, you know, I had certain kinds of data, should I say. I understood how the game was played. I'm the game warden.
You got to be the game warden.
You do need game warden.
Yeah. And so.
You got to be the game warden. You know, don't, you can come to the table with anything. You want to come out the street, bring it. You want to come out in the
Larry,
let us know where the next move is. Know where the next move is. Send it down the pipeline, and you know I'm gonna be chopping at the bitch to go get it.
Hey, you stop going in the corner asking for these nickels and dimes. Stop doing that. Don't do that. You know, as we said in the street, treat yourself. Don't trick yourself.
Exactly. Exactly.
Don't trick yourself. You're asking for $50,000. Man, come on. I got contracts out of the state of Minnesota where I did that every month. Don't do that to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that to yourself. $50,000, you ain't trying to buy no car.
Yeah.
You know, you want a new truck?
They cut me a check, and they giving me nothing over here.
Yeah. So with that said, I'd like to thank Mr. Tucker for joining us for this whole show. It was greatly appreciated. And Anthony and Jonathan, and I just want to let people know that starting February 1st, if we can get it together, Anthony Scott has a Scott Collection, the Historic Black Minnesotans, the beautiful bound book that he has a collaboration with the Hennepin County Library, if I'm not mistaken, and a couple other folks. And so hopefully we'll get that together where he can start broadcasting and interviewing some of those people that are still here with us today from his book and kind of show that. As usual, you have Mason's in the morning, Mason in the morning, Mason live, and Mason at the scene, on the scene, and there's a bunch of shows there, and we're going to start a show. I don't know if you know a gentleman named Greg Sane out of Chicago, Illinois, a radio personality, and James Holmes Jr. and I are going to do the Black Corner, which is just news and information, but it's more of a legislative tilt, and then educating Minnesota's best. Is a total 100% education program focused toward education, where you will have an opportunity to talk with other teachers and educators and administrators in the state of Minnesota about what's happening and what we can do to reset the pace and structure and sequence of what's going on here in education. Things that we've touched on during this hour program. With that said, I'll give each of you 30 seconds to close out, and then we can let James Brown take us home.
God.
Yes, sir.
We need to get a group of people and all of us sit down and interview them. If we can find 10 people that want to swing like we swing, or swing like Count Basie and Duke Ellington, let's bring them to the table.
Yeah.
The rest of those people, we understand, they just don't have it. There's too many missing pieces. And you're not going to be able to do that in 15 minutes.
Yep. Well, we got four here. We got one on Facebook. Marquette.
He says I have a gimmick.
You kind of sounded like RPD too, bro.
Okay.
And Anthony, Jonathan, go ahead.
Yeah, I totally agree. We do need to sit down, find 10 to 15 real ones that are ready to go to work. Ready to understand and put the work in to change this dynamic for the Black community, and not those who are seeking acceptance, but being respected within our own community. So it was a pleasure talking to you guys today, and I think we can take this on to the next level.
Yeah, I think we have to. Remember, tune in next week, next Friday, for the last question, and then again, our Black News. And I appreciate you tuning in. And with that said, we're going to let James take it away. Just a minute, guys.